Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, to the Canary Islands we go now, where Spain's maritime rescue services are continuing the search for a missing boat reportedly carrying 200 migrants. The vessel left a port in the West African state of Senegal in late June and disappeared en route to the Canaries, which lie further north, closer to Morocco. There are reports that two other Senegalese boats may be missing along that same route. Well, Cliona O'Flynn is a journalist based in Tenerife, and she joins us on the line now. Good morning, Cliona.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, what's the latest update on this first missing boat that I mentioned with reportedly 200 migrants on board?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the update is pretty much as you said. There is still no word or no sighting of this boat carrying, we believe, up to 200 people from one village in Senegal. In fact, some of the reports we're reading that is that there are families on board. One father says three of his children are on this boat. They left the coast of Senegal on the 27th of June, it's about a 1,700 kilometre crossing to Tenerife, and contact was lost. We do know that both sea and air rescue are now searching for the boat. That has been confirmed, but to date there has been no sighting of them. And, you know, this is a tragedy. We feel that we'll be lucky if there's a good outcome from it. That sounds very grim and gloomy of me to say, but unfortunately it's something we're getting used to.
Mm-hmm. And Cliona, the other two boats that left Senegal, they were headed for the Canaries at around the same time.
Yeah, and we believe that they were carrying 60 on one boat and 65 on the other boat. Again, no sign of them. And that is coming. The news that we're getting on those, it's coming from one of the frontier health associations. And they say so that we believe that there are three boats missing up to now. As I say, it just is part of an ongoing story that seems to happen here on an annual basis. Last year, we believe 600 plus people lost their lives on that same crossing. It's considered one of the deadliest sea crossings in the world.
And is there any information on what type of boats these were, how robust they were?
They're not. These are, I mean, I have often told people that they could be the size of what might be like a curragh. So we'd be used to that kind of boat. They're hollowed out wooden kayaks, large wooden kayaks, but certainly not large enough to hold 100 people comfortably. But these people are packed into these boats. We believe that there are children certainly on board the boat that has 200 people. There cannot be any sanitation on these boats. It is highly unlikely that they have food and water to keep them going for what might be a 20-day journey from the coast of Senegal. We're not sure if there is any motor on board, probably not. And we don't know if they're launched from the coast or from motherships. There is always some kind of dark areas in terms of the information that we get about how these boats have left the coasts of Senegal and where the people are coming from. Quite often you will also have migrants or potential migrants who have travelled from other countries in Africa to Senegal, which is seen as the best launching place to get to the Canary Islands and hopefully for those people travelling onto Europe and freedom.
Now, you mentioned there at the beginning that you're becoming used to hearing news stories like this, and there have been, hasn't there in recent weeks, a series of tragedies, also major rescues from the seas around the Canaries.
Yeah, I mean, daily at the moment, we are nearly seeing boats coming in daily. There was a boat that arrived into El Hierro, which is the smallest Canary island, with 37 people on board yesterday evening. Quite often the rescues are the ones that make the news, because unless the rescue services are alerted from family members who haven't heard from their people on boats, we mightn't hear about the ones lost till it's too late. When the sub that was lost at sea going down to see the Titanic, was all over the news. I know that a lot of media was also focusing attention on the Greek boat tragedy, where there might have been up to 200 people killed. There was also a boat that went off down off the Canary Islands too, off Lanzarote, and we believe at least 37 people died in that. Their names are not known. We don't have their photographs. This is always one of the tragedies, that we hear about numbers and we don't hear about individuals, and it's a terribly sad situation.
And are the numbers unusual this year, or does it tend to spike in the summertime every year?
It will spike in the summertime every year because the seas are calmer, and because migrants or potential migrants are persuaded that this is an easier crossing. We believe they pay thousands. We think the price might have reduced. Last year, this year, we believe about 8,000 have crossed already. That was until the end of June. So from January to June, about 8,000 people successfully made the journey. In 2021, it was 22,000. Now, COVID became a particularly odd kind of a year, odd for many reasons, but we had a higher number of crossings and it created problems on the island because the Spanish government weren't allowing flights out of the island. So there was a glut of people waiting to be relocated to other parts of Spain. There was a drop, a 13% drop in the people arriving last year. And as I say, though 8,000 have arrived this year, that is considered to be less than in previous years. But there's also a political question.
Sorry to cut across you. We'll come back to the politics in a moment. But where do these people go, the people who make the successful crossings? You mentioned their flights leaving the Canaries to other parts of Spain. Are any of them housed and looked after in the Canaries, or are they all moved on?
Yeah. No, there would be some migration centres here. First of all, under human rights legislation, if any of them are minors, the Spanish government has an obligation to care for them, feed them and educate them. So they, you know, a lot of them would stay here. Others who would have their initial papers processed, if they are from countries where they cannot rightfully claim that they are in danger of being persecuted, many of them will be flown straight back to where they came from. I mean, we do have tales of people who have tried this crossing two or three times, and then some who might have lost their papers, whether deliberately or not, will either be sent to immigrant centres here or sent on to the Spanish mainland, where they will also be in immigrant centres. Some will be processed, some will actually be successfully apply for immigration status, and some might be also relocated from Spain as well. So there's kind of a spreading out of those who arrive. And as I say, some do stay, some look for jobs, some find jobs and successfully make a life here.
And what about the political reaction you were just mentioning?
Right. I mean, it was one of the things I've been looking at. I'm kind of a bit politically active here and worried about the increase in popularity of Vox, which is an ultra-right party. As we've seen across Europe, many ultra-right parties are beginning to gain in popularity. We have a Spanish general election here in 2 weeks, and Vox are looking like a potential government partner with the right-wing Partido Popular. So there is a belief that they would go into national government, and they have said very clearly that they want to expel all immigrants, all illegal immigrants. They want them expelled from Spain pretty much immediately. And anybody who has been given Spanish nationality but has committed a criminal offence, that they would be also stripped of that nationality and repatriated to the countries from which they came. And they are also, you know, looking to strengthen and heighten the walls between the frontier areas of Melilla and Ceuta, which are just on the Moroccan border. So if Vox do get into power within the next couple of weeks, I'd say we would see a further tightening of immigration laws, and certainly a less favourable welcome to the immigrants that do make it here.
And can you give us a sense of the level of support now, 2 weeks out from the election, that Vox has?
Pedro Sanchez, he's going to have a debate this evening with Feijóo, the leader of the Partido Popular. The polls are not looking good for the Socialist Party. I don't think any party is going to win an overall majority, but I'd say it's still looking likely that there will be a swing to the right. The reason Pedro Sanchez called this snap general election is that there was an overall national swing to the right at the local elections, which took place at the end of May. And what he said was, right, I need to see how the country is feeling before I go ahead with any further government changes or government laws. So he has called this election. But as I say, the sense is that it will be a right-wing coalition that will take power after the 23rd of July, which is when the elections are. So it looks like it will be a right-wing government, a right-wing coalition.
Just incidentally, you've strict rules there on campaigning before elections, don't you?
Yes, it's only just started. The first poster just went up last weekend. So campaigning can only begin. There's a very, very strict period of campaigning. I took part in local elections recently, so I know it's pretty much 15 days out from the date of the election is the only time you can go door to door. The only time you can put up posters or actually ask people to vote for you. So it's a very intense time for political parties once the election dates are called. So I'd say, even though I don't have a vote because I'm an Irish national, I can only vote in local and European elections. My daughter is a Spanish national, and I'm expecting our letterbox to be bombarded with leaflets and the doorbell to be rung constantly now for the next 2 weeks.
Okay, 14 days of a lot of activity. Cliona, thank you very much. Interesting as always to speak to Cliona O'Flynn there, an Irish journalist based in Tenerife. Dentist Caroline Robbins will be with me here in the studio very shortly after this break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.